So in the last webinar, we saw up to verse number 5. And now let us continue with verse number 6. Let us read. The Samparaya Pratibhati Balam Pramadhyantam Vitta Mohena Moodham Ayam Loko Nasti Parayita Mani Puna Punar Vashamapatyate Me. So all our instruments of knowledge, they are known as Paurusheya Pramana. All our instruments of knowledge, cognition. So Paurusheyam means at the disposal of a Purusha. Here it's a human being. So our sense organs, they are all Paurusheya Pramanam. They are at our disposal. Our intellect, it can analyze lot of sensory data and discover so many laws of creation. It is capable of doing that. Everything we don't see, when an apple falls down, for example, the sense organs, they will report only the falling apple. The law of gravitation is not perceived, which is discerned by the intellect. So our sense organ, namely the eyes, would see the falling apple, but it cannot perceive the law of gravity. That is done by the intellect. So if a percentage can be perceptually known, then a very great percentage can be known by intellectual analysis. Therefore, there is all, they are called what? They come under Paurusheya Pramana. And this perception and intellect put together, they can discover lot of great things. In fact, all discoveries and inventions in science and technology, they are all the glory of Paurusheya Pramana only. For example, computers, internet, communication system, the web, they are all Paurusheya Pramana. But scriptures, they point out that every Pramana has got a particular field in which alone they can operate. This is the fundamental law. Every instrument has got a field within which they can function. For example, if you take the eyes, however powerful the eyes may be, they can function only in the field of what? Forms and colors only. They are utterly useless in the field of, for example, sound. It's a fact which we can very happily accept. If we can know and accept the limitation of every pramana, then we won't use a wrong pramana for a wrong field. Using an appropriate instrument, that's what we will do. When I want to see stars, for example, I use a telescope. But when I want to see a bacteria, I use a microscope. Nothing wrong. I know the field of each one of them. What the scriptures say is, both the perception and the intellect are wonderful and great, but they have a field of operation which is limited, which is called Paurusheya Vishaya. So Paurusheya Pramanam can operate only in the field of Paurusheya Vishayas. It has got a range, but it can operate only within that range. And there are things which are outside the range of Paurusheya Pramana, and all those topics which are beyond Paurusheya Pramana, they are all called Apaurusheya Vishayas. Paurusheya and Apaurusheya. So like trying to go, for example, you want to go in a great car, Lamborghini. Very expensive car, but it cannot go in water. However much expensive the car could be, it can run only on a road, not on a water. If you go on water, then we will know what will happen. And the interesting thing is, the dream world is not also available for the waker sense organs. In fact, Swapna is Apaurusheya Vishaya with respect to what? With respect to the waker. Waker sense organs and intellect. So the Apaurusheya Vishaya is divided into two in our tradition. One is called Dharma, the laws of karma governing the universe. That is Dharma. And the second one is Brahma. Brahma, the ultimate truth or the reality. Both this Dharma and Brahma, they are considered Apaurusheya Vishayas. And so with respect to these, we cannot rely on our sense organs and our intellect. But rely on what? The Veda Pramana, which is called Apaurusheya Pramana. So Dharma Adharma, Punya Papa, all these topics, they are all called Adrishtam. Veda Pramana, they are not Drishtam, which can be seen and perceived. For example, if somebody wants to see the, find out the age of the moon, he doesn't have to go to the scriptures at all. He doesn't have to go to the Vedas. Lord has given us the intellect and sense organs. We can do research and fix the age of the moon. Whenever script, whatever scriptures say is, use the appropriate pramana for the appropriate topic. So this is called intelligence. And Yamadharmaraja says that the unintelligent people, they fail in this context. And that is going to be said in this mantra that we just read. Now let us see the mantra. First line. In the first line he says, Balam. Balam means most of these people are balaha. They are all childish people. They are not mature people. Even though physically they look mature, but maybe they may have even bald head and gray hairs, doesn't mean they are internally matured. So they are childish. They are indiscriminate people, intellectually stunted people. So therefore, incapable of learning from the experience of life. And so they continue to do wrong things and wrong priorities of life. So they are called balaha. Then Yamadharmaraja further criticized them as pramadyantam. They do not know the value of the rare human life that they got. Because in any other life, there is no possibility of getting liberation, moksha at all. This is the only thing for the rare human janma where knowledge and moksha are possible. Knowledge means self-knowledge. So, iha ched avedit atha satyam asti. Na ched iha avedit mahati vinashtihi. Mahati vinashtihi. It is a great loss if a person does not make it in this human janma to go to moksha. It is a great loss. Mahati vinashtihi. And so we have to know the value of human life. And that too, the first and the last parts of life for any human being, they are practically useless. In the first part, we are immature. So we cannot spend it in any worthwhile way at all because we don't know things. And in the later part, we are incapable. And therefore, we cannot spend time on all this Atma Vichara. So if you really skip the first and the last parts of life, we have only a few years left in the middle. And if you are negligent and complacent during that time, it only shows our foolishness of that person. And so Yamadharmaraja very strongly criticizes them. And he says, pramadyantam, careless with respect to the rare gift of God, very negligent. They waste precious time and faculty. So pramadaha, pramadaha means here negligence, pramadyantam, negligent person the people are. So actually in Tamil, pramadam means it's something very great. Here it is not that pramadam. Here pramada, here means this is the meaning. And why they are negligent? Why can't they spend their life in a worthwhile manner at all? That is because vitta mohena mudam. They are lost in the pursuit of vitta, all wealth. Carried away, which promises all material comforts and entertainment, all this in this life. In fact, money represents actually all the three purusharthas, currency. All the three, which are the three? Dharma, artha, and kama. All the three are represented by money. That's what they think. Everything can be purchasable by money. Therefore, vitta mohena, because of the delusion of wealth, mudam, this person is carried away, he is deluded, he is confounded. Monday to Friday, I am busy. Saturday, Sunday, I am even more busy. That is their stand. And again starts Monday. So with all the internet, email, etc., when they have come, what happened? Even the non-working hours have become working hours. We all have become 24 hours working almost. So we normally argue, India is awake when I sleep. So make non-working sleep hours to work. So all the times busy, 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 that's what we are engaged in. And suddenly one day the doctor will say, you have health problem. You have to take rest, relax, take it easy. So vitta mohena mudam. And so only, ayam lokaha na paraha iti mani. He believes only in this world. Ayam lokaha does not believe in the next janma, the future, in punya papa, moksha. He doesn't have faith in any of them. In short, he does not believe in four purusharthas, but only artha and kama only he is interested in. So ayam lokaha, called, this is called the charvaka philosophy, materialistic philosophy. And this visible world alone is nasti paraha, no paraloha at all. For them only this loka alone exists, this world. There is no paraloka at all. Iti mani, he proudly claims, like as a rationalist. That's what, there is nothing beyond this life at all. So enjoy whatever you can in this life. You have only one life. That is the logic. And so naturally, since he does not become interested in dharma and moksha, which are the higher purusharthas, he is not going to live in the sadhanas, leading to the higher purusharthas like dharma and moksha, as prescribed in the scriptures. So those Vaidika sadhanas, he does not accept. So Vedic discipline meant for dharma and moksha, moksha purusharta, he does not believe in them at all. So he does not believe in the means, in the sadhanam, because he does not accept the sadhyam, namely the goal, the moksha purusharta. And the Vaidika sadhanam, in this verse, this is called here samparayaha. So this means of going to moksha through the Vedic injunctions, that is called here as samparayaha. Vedic way of life, rituals, prayers, none of them he accepts, because these are presented for acquiring dharma and moksha. Both are invisible, not tangible to him. So he says, he asks the question, why should I waste my time, money and energy in religious rituals, which will not give me any tangible, visible, concrete benefit at all? So they say, feed the poor, support orphanages, because the benefit is visible. But when I do a big ritual like a Maharudram or Atirudram, some of those, it's what they feel. You only offer tons and tons of ghee in the fire. So much of ghee, so much of Chakrapangal putting in the fire, all that. They don't believe in Vaidika sadhanas. They say it's all waste. They all go to waste only. You could have fed so many hundreds and thousands of people with that. So na samparayaha pratibhati. The Vedic way of life does not appeal to those people at all. And so what is there for them? Money and entertainment only. That's all they look for. And what about values? If they are useful for money and entertainment, I will follow such values. If they are not, no values at all. I would reject the values than Arthakama. That is their philosophy. These are all people in the world generally. If you take the world, the majority lot of them are only in this category. So Yamadharmaraja says, O Nachiketas, you are a rare specimen. You are an endangered species almost. Then what will happen to them? What is the punishment for them? The punishment is they are going to be under Yamadharmaraja's grip. All those people, they will be under the grip of Yamadharmaraja. Means what? Under the grip of Kala, time. Which means the time will attack them. That means sooner or later, they are going to lose everything they have accomplished. Whatever they have accomplished, they are going to lose all of them. Even they lose their capacity to enjoy Arthakama. Because time is such a big factor. They will even lose the ability to enjoy Arthakama. The old age will be the most frustrating part of life for them. And apart from Arthakama, they don't have anything better to do at all. And so lying in an easy chair, one has to keep on worrying oneself, because one cannot even share with others, because others are busy going after their Arthakama. So at the old age, even if one wants to call the young boy to bring a newspaper, he will say, I have something else to do, or he won't even turn his ears towards this old man, and he will just run away. The Upanishad graphically describes the mental agony of such a old person who has not led a worthwhile life at all. Kimahagum saduna karavam, kimaham papa makarama vithi, sayevam vidvanete atma nagdas prunute. Upanishad says, why did I take such actions? Why I did not do such actions? All kinds of regrets, guilt, complex, all those things come at that time. They haunt them. So at the time, all the time, it is available now, and I cannot do anything that I like to do. This is what everybody regrets when they are old. So this is Yamadharmaraja's method of imprisonment and making one think of what is life. The way Yamadharmaraja operates the world is through these methods only. So in fact, most of the people will turn philosophers at old age. So Yamadharmaraja wants them. Te me vasham apadyate. They will come to my hold. Me vasham. means old age. They will come to old age and death. So jara marana vasham, they will come in the grip of them. Jara maranam, old age, death. And can death give them permanent freedom? No, definitely no. Because Yama Dharmaraja says they die repeatedly, not once. Repeated death is possible only when there is repeated birth. So Yama Dharmaraja reminds punapunaha. They will die several times. And again they will come back to life. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani, jatare shayanam. Yiga samsare bahudustare, kripaya pare, pahi murare. Only very, very few people come to Murari, the Lord, and ask him to protect them and his grace. Mantra number 7.
Shravanayapi bahubihi yona labhyaha, shrinvantopi bahavaha, yamna vidyuhu, ఆశ్చర్యో వక్త కుశలోస్య లబ్ధ ఆశ్చర్యో జ్ఞాత కుశలానుశిష్ట.
సో టిల్ నౌ యమధర్మరాజా టాక్డ్ అబౌట్ ద గ్లోరీ ఆఫ్ ది వేదాంతిక్ స్టూడెంట్ బై కాంట్రాస్టింగ్ హిమ్ విత్ ది ఆల్ ది ఆర్డినరీ అదర్ పీపుల్. సో శిష్య స్తుతి, దట్ వాస్ ది టాపిక్ అంటిల్ నౌ. Now, in this particular verse, Yama Dharmaraja is glorifying the very teaching. We already outlined in the introduction, there will be Shishya Stuti, then there will be Guru Stuti, and also the glory of the teaching. So, by talking about the rareness of this teaching, so Vedanta Shravanam is the rarest of the rare things. It is not easily accessible. Why do we say so? Why do we say it is very rare? Because first of all, only very few people are interested in Vedanta. So to come to Vedanta Shravanam, one has to graduate by going through several levels. The first thing is what? Out of the four Purusharthas, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, majority people are interested in only Artha, Kama. So 70% is gone, busy making and spending money. And there may be another 20% plus who may know that mere money alone cannot, give me a great life. So there should be something more to that. And so they follow some dharma. They do bhakti, puja, japa. So maybe another 20% going towards this dharmic way. And still there are only very few people who know that even dharma has got its limitation. So even dharma cannot give moksha. At best can give me swargaloka, which is also returnable. So ishta purtam. So all these things can give ishta purtam manyamana varishtam nanya shreyo vedamanye pramudaha nakasya prishte te sukrite anubhutmevam lokam heenataram va vishanti. And that's what Mundaka Upanishad says. So these deluded fools, these are the people believing that all these rites inculcated by the Vedas and the Smritis, they cannot give them the ultimate thing in life, namely the moksha. They do not understand. So these are people like that. So in the Bhagavad Gita also Krishna said, Yetad buddhyam buddhiman syat krita krityascha bharata. That's what Krishna said also. Having known all these, there are some people, they accomplished. But in spite of knowing all these, they cannot accomplish the ultimate truth because they know only that much. So 70% are after Artha Kama, 20-25% are after Dharma perhaps, and only about 5% or so, they are interested in moksha. So first stage is moksha iccha, to have the desire to gain moksha. And among those who desire it, many do not know what is the way to get moksha, how to get liberation. So there are so many versions are also there. Some people say karmana mokshaha, karma will give moksha, keep on going good karma, it will give moksha, some people think. Other people say bhakti, yoga, raising the kundalini, music, they will give moksha. There are some other people. So very few people know that jnanam or self-knowledge alone can give moksha. So moksha iccha should be converted into jnana iccha. If somebody wants moksha, first thing, the desire for moksha should be converted to desire for jnanam, self-knowledge. That's a very, very big conversion. And the next problem is what? How to get that knowledge? There are several methods are presented. Some people say, keep on doing your duty, then knowledge will dawn one day. This is some people. And other people say, silence your mind, quieten the mind, then Krishna will appear before you. And other people say, by a jnani's touch, he has to touch you, or he has to look at you, darshana diksha. Then if you do that, Krishna will come to you. And among the seekers of Krishna also, only very few people know that Vedanta Shastram, the scriptures dealing with this Krishna, are the unique means of getting Krishna. Even among the Krishna Bhaktas, even them, they do not know that only Vedanta Shastram alone can get them to near Krishna. So Shastra Pramanam Eva will lead a person to get moksha. Therefore, desire for moksha should be converted to Shastra Vichara, to know the scriptures. And that is the next progress. So moksha Icha, to be converted to Jnana Icha, should be converted to Shastra Vichara Icha. No, there is no other way. Then comes the final stage. When I try to study the scriptures or inquire into them by myself, I only get confused, because that's the first thing. If I don't get confused, if I don't understand the scriptures, there is no problem. It does not cause any damage. I am lucky perhaps. Worse is if I misunderstand the scriptures, because scriptures use extraordinary methods of communication, not regular methods, because the subject matter is extraordinary. It is not a regular subject. We are not dealing with this objective universe at all. We deal with the very subject itself. And so this person has to recognize that inquiring into the scriptures independently will not lead to anywhere. I require the assistance and guidance of a person who knows how to communicate with the help of scriptures, who has got the key to open the scriptures and reveal the truth to me. So the Shastra Vichara Icha should get converted into Guru Upadesha Shravana Icha. It should be converted, desire to listen to the teaching done by a competent teacher. So put it in a simple form, Shravana Icha. So Moksha Icha should be converted to Jnana Icha, should be converted to Shastra Icha, should be converted to Shravana Icha, desire to listen and learn. Until then, I don't know its value, its relevance. Otherwise, I think that study of scriptures is only a time pass. And so the desire for Shravanam is very rare. If 10% of the people desire moksha, only 7% of the people understand Jnanam is the only way, 5% of them only will take Shastram, and even 2% or so only will take to Shravanam. So Brihadaranya Upanishad, it says, Atmava Are Drishtavyaha Shrotavyaha. For self-knowledge, Shravanam is the very first stage. And even among those people who want to have Shravanam, how many get this opportunity? And vice versa. So Yamadharma Raja says, Shravanayapi Bahubihi Yaha Na Labhyaha. Even for listening to the Shastras, for most of the people, there is no opportunity at all. And then Shrinvantaha Api. Even among those who get the opportunity to listen, Bahavaha Na Vidyuhu, they do not understand. Many people do not even understand. And so wherever successful communication takes place, there the glory belongs to whom? To the student, the receiver, and also the teacher, the communicator. And so Yamadharma Raja says that the communicator is a wonder. The teacher is a wonder, because he communicates something which is not easily communicable, and the student receives something which is not easily receivable. And why do we say so? The reason is we have got an orientation, and that is whenever we listen to the description of anything, this is our orientation. We imagine that something is an object. This is called an objectification orientation. Description of Kailas, Manasarovar. Somebody has gone there, they describe it. So we form concepts of the described entity. This is our habit. This is our orientation internally. So with this orientation, if a person comes to Vedanta, and if the teacher gives a brilliant description of Brahman, Jagat Karanam, Sarvajnaha, Sarvashaktiman, Sarvavyapi, he tells about Satyam, Jnanam, Anandam, all these things he gives about Brahman. So when a student listens to this, his first job is what? He does look around. He looks around whether anything that would come under Brahman could be seen at all in this list. Nothing he has experienced until now comes in that list at all for him. And so he keeps on forming concept of Brahman, that it is some kind of an extraordinary thing in the world. So this is called Paroksha Jnana. In Vedanta, this is called Paroksha Jnana. And having formed the concepts, he completes the teaching also, years and decades, perhaps he goes on learning, and he says, I have got the designation and description of Brahman. Now what am I going to do? I am waiting for an opportunity to have a face-to-face experience of Brahman. That is what this student thinks. And start meditation. He also starts meditation, hoping for that day. So that one day he will get some blue light or green light or something revealing the actual Brahman. So Brahman will give darshanam to him. That's what he thinks. So he keeps on meditation and says, I manage now to come to blankness. These are all progress. In Vedanta, he thinks, I have come to blankness now, but I don't know where to go beyond this. So that's what his question is. And at last, when the mind is withdrawn from the regular activities for some time, mind is capable of giving extraordinary experience. So it's a pressurized mind. So any such extraordinary experience, I wrongly conclude that this is Brahman experience. So brilliant light or, you know, blue light, whatever. What, which is Brahman? So we say ashabdam, asparsham, arupam, arasam, agandam, avyayam. It is neither white nor blue. But we are talking about the seer of the white, yellow and orange colors. But this aspect of the teaching is not received properly at all. So most of them, they miss it. Some rare student grasps it. So that description of Brahman is the description of what? Nothing but myself, the observer of everything, which is never going to become an observed object anytime. If the self-evident consciousness, it is pradibodha viditam matam, it is not something experienced in a particular event or moment. It is a very self-evident consciousness in which all the particular events and moments, they come and go. Tad brahma aham asmi, that is the knowledge. This owning up requires a very subtle mind. But by subtle mind, we mean, what do we mean by subtle mind? That should be a mind which is non-objectifying mind. Unlike the sharp mind of a scientist, he has a sharp mind. There he differentiates, what does he do with the sharp mind? He differentiates two subtle things, two subtle objects. That's what he differentiates, a sharp mind. But in Vedanta, it is not differentiating two objects, but it requires a subtle mind which should drop the very objectification tendency itself. That is the difference between the subtle mind of a scientist and the subtle mind of a Vedantic student. And therefore, such a student is very rare. And a teacher who makes the student receive it without objectification, such a teacher is very rare. In fact, the responsibility lies more on the teacher. Because at regular intervals, the teacher should warn, don't look for any mystic experience, extraordinary object. Meditation is not meant for an extraordinary experience. Keep on hammering and telling your mind. Vedanta is a matter for owning up your own nature. And so Yamadharmaraja says, Vakta Ascharyaha. The one who teaches this self is a wonder. Ascharyaha, Vakta. And Labdha Ascharyaha. One who gets the Atma, he is also a wonder. The student who receives this knowledge, he is also a wonder. Now, having said this, Yamadharmaraja is a little worried. Because he used the word, one who gets the Atma is a wonder. Then again, there could be a confusion. At the end of the class, they will think that the teacher is going to distribute them Atma Prasadam. Some Prasada, like, you know, after a puja, they distribute Prasada. So the teacher is going to distribute some Atma Prasada. So Yamadharmaraja says, getting Atma is knowing Atma. It is not getting Atma, it is knowing Atma. So Jnanam eva praptihi. There is no getting of the Atma other than knowing the fact that the Atma is nothing but myself. So Atma Jnanam eva Atma praptihi. So getting the Atma is knowing the Atma, because you happen to be the Atma, tat tvam asi. And Yamadharmaraja says, Ascharyo Jnata. The one who knows the Atma is the wonder. And how does he know that? కుశల అనుశిష్ట. ఐ థాట్ ఐ మీన్ కుశల అనుశిష్ట మీన్స్ ఇట్ ఇస్ థాట్ బై ఎ కుశల, ఎ కాంపిటెంట్ ఆచార్య. కుశల మీన్స్ ఎ కాంపిటెంట్ ఆచార్య. ది ఆచార్య హ్యాస్ గాట్ ట్రెమెండస్ రెస్పాన్సిబిలిటీ, సో హీ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ కుశల, ఎ వెరీ కాంపిటెంట్ ఆచార్య. మంత్ర నంబర్ 8. నరేణావరేణ ప్రోక్త ఏష సువిజ్ఞేయ బహుధా చింత్యమాన అనన్య ప్రోక్తే గతిరత్ర నాస్తి అణీతాన్ హ్యతృక్యం అణు ప్రమాణాత్. హియర్ యమధర్మరాజా ఈస్ గ్లోరిఫయింగ్ ది టీచర్, ది ఆచార్య. ఆచార్య ప్రీవియస్ శ్లోక వాస్ వాట్, వాస్ గ్లోరిఫికేషన్ ఆఫ్ ద టీచింగ్. Now he is glorifying the teacher. Before that glorification of the student, Yamadharmaraja gives here the importance to the student first, and last only the teacher. That's how he does. So he says, this Atmajnanam, it requires an extraordinary teacher, extraordinary acharya, who is an expert in communicating the non-communicable, non-easily communicable. Why? He gives the reason. In the fourth line, అనుప్రమాణాత్ అణీయాన్, బికాస్ ది ఆత్మా ఈజ్ ద సబ్జెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద సటిల్ సటిల్ నంబర్ ఆఫ్ ఫ్రమ్ దిస్. బికాస్ వెన్ యు టేక్ ద ప్రాపర్టీస్, ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ జనరలీ ద సటిలిటీ ఆఫ్ ఎనీథింగ్ ఈజ్ మెషర్డ్ ఆర్ క్వాంటిఫైడ్ ఇన్ టర్మ్స్ ఆఫ్ ద నంబర్ ఆఫ్ ప్రాపర్టీస్. ఇఫ్ యు టేక్ ద ఫైవ్ ఎలిమెంట్స్, ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ద ఎర్త్, ద పృథివీ, ఇట్ హెస్ గాట్ ఫైవ్ ప్రాపర్టీస్. What are the five properties? Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa and Gandha. All the five properties it has. And so it is accessible through all the five sense organs. And so earth is supposed to be the grossest among the five elements. And when you come to water, it has got four properties. Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa and Rasa only, no Gandha. But water does not have Gandha, pure water. If you take pure water, it does not have any smell. So it is accessible to only four sense organs. And then if you take Agni, it has three properties, Shabda, Sparsha and Rupa. And if you take Vayu, it has only two properties, namely Shabda and Sparsha. And if you take Akasha, it has only one property, namely Shabda Gunaha. And so among the five elements, the space is the subtlest and earth is the grossest. And so if you have to talk about space to a child, it is very, very difficult to communicate to a child, because space is the subtlest, it has only one property. So if space itself is so subtle, what to talk about Atma, which is supposed to be free from even the Shabda Guna. It is supposed to be, it is Gunatitaha, without any Guna at all, no property. And therefore, subtler even than the space, so Akashatapi Sukshma. And so it is not available for any instrument of knowledge at all. Because every instrument really studies only the property. In fact, we never study the substance at all. We only study the property. When I see you and appreciate your existence, it is only in terms of the five sense organs which perceive your form, your sound, whatever it is, which are all properties only. So sense organs or instruments can objectify the properties, and since Atma is without property, it is not available for any of the instruments. It is aprameyam, and so it is ati sukshmam, it is extremely subtle, and so atarkyam, not available for even any logical reasoning, tarka. So anumana agocharam, it cannot be. It's so atarkyam means anumana agocharam. Why? Because any logic is based on what? Data collected through perception. Any knowledge is based on the data collected. So he does the science. How does science progresses normally? They collect lot of data, which is based on perception. And then on, from that data, they are able to project, they calculate, analyze, do infer, and say that the particular galaxy is 12,000 light years away. They make a determination like that. Or this moon is so many millions years old. So tarka or logic, they work only in a field where data are available. Since Atma is not at all available for perception, how will you collect data on Atma? And data is not available, how are you going to study Atma at all? And so without data collection, whatever one concludes will come under what? Only speculation or imagination. And imagination is not a valid means of knowledge at all. We cannot take a medicine based on someone else's imagination. Tarka can only lead to speculation about such subjects. We can have any number of theories talking about the truth in this way or that way. And so Atma is what? It is atarkyam, beyond logic. Tarkyam is in keeping with logic. It is atarkyam. Atarkyam, beyond logic, beyond science. And therefore, only if you go to the second line, Bahuda chintyamanaha. It is variously speculated. Bahuda, imagined by different people. Everyone has got one theory, like the cause for cancer. No one exactly knows what is the cause of cancer. So anyone can say anything. After all, cancer is not known. Cancer is not going to fight back and say, oh, no, this is not the reason. This is the reason. So speculations are infinite. There are speculations regarding the very existence of Atma itself. There are some philosophers who claim that Atma is only body-mind, nothing beyond that, body-mind complex. So no such thing called Atma other than the body-mind. Then there are other people who accept that there is an Atma other than body-mind complex, but regarding its nature, there is confusion. That's what some people say. And someone says, Atma is an atom's size. Another says, it is all-pervading. Another says, Atma is size of the body. So elephant has a higher Atma and an ant has a smaller Atma. And you and I have medium Atma. And when you put on a weight, Atma expands. And when you slim, it slims. So these are all various. So Anu Parimana, Vibhu Parimana, Madhyama Parimana, these are all various things in Vedanta. And there are confusions regarding the number of Atma, one or many. And there is a Pramana different from all these Jivatmas. So there's another thing which says, is Paramatma different from all the Jivatmas? Then whether the Atma is an inert principle or a sentient principle. According to Nyaya Vaisheshika philosophy, Atma is also insentient matter. They are supposed to be logicians. And there are some who claim that Atma is consciousness itself. And there are others who say it is a mixture of both, like a glow worm. If you take a glow worm, one part of it is bright, other part is non-bright. So there is confusion after confusion after confusion everywhere. So Yamadharma Raja says, Bahuda chintyamanaha. Atma is variously speculated by various philosophers. As we mentioned earlier some other time, in our tradition, we have got 12 systems of philosophy. Six systems, they believe in Vedas. And there are six systems which are non-believers of Vedas. And each one has an idea about Atma. Each one clearly distinct from the other. And each one vehemently quarreling also with each other. Since it is very, very confusing. So, yeshaha na subhijnyayaha. It can never be clearly grasped. Convincingly or doubtlessly, so it cannot be grasped. So if taught by an inferior teacher, if the teacher is not good, it cannot be grasped very easily. So avarena narena, it means what? Avarena guruna, inferior teacher, who does not know how to communicate this teaching. It's a very rare teaching. So if such a guru teaches, the Atma will not be understood at all. Not only that, it will be misunderstood also. And we cannot form a philosophy mixing up all of them. Because each one is mutually contradictory. I cannot say, okay, I have 12 systems, let me mix them. And then try to come up with another one. If I accept one philosophy that Atmas are many, how can I accept another philosophy which says Atma is only one? We cannot do that at all. So you cannot combine all the systems and form an integral philosophy also. It is impossible. Which means I should clearly know which is right and which is not correct. That is possible only when, if it is taught by a proper teacher, an improper person cannot communicate this knowledge. Therefore, avarena, narena, proktaha, taught, revealed or communicated. Yeshaha, this Atma, which is our subject matter here, which Nachiketas wants to know through the third boon. Then how can one know that then? Yamadharma Raja says, there is only one way it can be known. And what is that? Ananya prokte. It should be necessarily taught only. There is no doubt in that at all. Self-experimentation, inquiry by oneself, meditation, none of them are going to work. Scriptures are required. And that too taught by a competent teacher. Both should go hand in hand. The teacher should teach also what is in the scriptures. He cannot teach his own theory. It should be in keeping with the scriptures. So Guru Shastra Upadesha is required. And Shastra is like a mirror which helps me to see myself. And Guru is one who knows how to operate the Shastra. The method of operation is as important as the Shastra itself. And such a Guru is given a beautiful title here, Ananyaha. In Mundakopanishad, such a Guru is called Shrotriya Brahmanishtaha. Tat Vijnanartham sa Guru Mevabhi Gachete. Samitpanihi Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. What is the meaning of Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam? One who has discovered the fact that I am Brahman, I am free. Only when I am free, I can help another person to become free. How can a person who is bound himself can help another person to become free? So the first condition is that the Guru should know the fact that he is the ever-free Brahman. If the Guru knows this fact, then without any doubt, he can happily, wholeheartedly tell every Shishya that you are also free, you are Brahman. So the first qualification is Brahmanishta. The teacher should himself be in Brahmanishta. And the second qualification is Shrotriyaha, one who knows the method of revealing this Brahman. And this method is so important because we saw actually earlier that the student has got a general problem. What is the problem? Objectification orientation. That's what we mentioned in the first portion of today's webinar. He always tends to think of Brahman as a mysterious entity which he has to come across. He thinks one day he is going to come across that Brahman. The teacher has to communicate in such a way that as even the student listens to it, he should understand that the description of Brahman is the description of myself. The teacher should be so clear in communicating that the student should never have even this iota of doubt to objectify that. Every word, Nitya, Shuddha, Mukta, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Anandam, all these words should not have any reference to an external object. All those should resolve where? Just as the word table, when I say the word table, it resolves into the object table. The word fan resolves into the object fan. The word satyam, jnanam, anantam, they all should not travel elsewhere. They all should come and resolve in me that I am that. I am that Atma. And such a way the teacher should communicate, which is not an ordinary task at all. Because everybody has the objectification orientation. And therefore the scripture devised special ingenious methods to do this job very efficiently. And that methodology is called Sampradayaha. So this methodology of communicating this truth is called Sampradaya. And it is a sacred key. Only if you use the secret key, the Upanishads will open and convey what it has to convey. And you can never get it anywhere else at all other than this tradition. So I will have the key only when I am a disciple of someone else. And my guru also would have had the key because he was a disciple of somebody else. That is how the guru parampara comes. Only in the guru shishya parampara, the sampradaya key is maintained. And the one who possesses the key is called Shrotriyaha or Sampradayavith. And such a Shrotriya Brahmanishtaha, such a guru, as mentioned in the Mundakopanishad, is called here as Ananyaha. So what is the meaning of the word Ananyaha? It means that guru for whom Brahman, the subject matter, is no more an object at all. So that guru for whom Brahman is the guru himself. That is why we say Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwaraha, Guru Reva Parambrahma. That Parambrahma is nothing but the Guru. So that fact is clear to him. So Ananyaha means Brahma, Brahmana, Eki Bhutaha, and so that kind of a person. So when he describes Brahman, for the Guru, description of Brahman is description of what? Description of himself. It is autobiographical almost. Vedantic teaching is talking about his biography. This is why he enjoys it. Because who will not enjoy talking about oneself? And when such a guru communicates, Yamadharmaraja says here that the Shishya helplessly understands. That is, even if the Shishya does not want to understand, he will understand. when the teacher is such a teacher. So he says, agatihi nasti. Non-understanding student at all. Gatihi means understanding here. Non-understanding is not there at all. Nasti. It is double negative. Agatihi nasti. Nasti. So knowledge will take place. That is the glory of the Acharya. But the problem is what? Who that Acharya is? How do I find out who that Acharya is? And Nachiketas here in this case is lucky, because he has got a very, very good Acharya in this case. Shloka number 9. Naisha tarkena matirapaneyam proktan yenaiva sujnanaya preshta yam tvamapaha satya drithirbhatasi tvadrungno bhuyat Nachiketaha preshta. So in this verse, M.S. Dharmaraja continues with the same idea as was discussed in the previous shloka. Self-knowledge can come from an Acharya only. It cannot come from any other source. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita also, Tadvitti Pranipatena Pariprashnena Sevaya. How do you approach the teacher and do service to him and learn? So in Mundaka Upanishad also, Tadvijnanartham Sa Gurumeva Abhigachete. For the sake of getting this knowledge, go to your guru only. And Acharyavan Purushaha Veda. So now, why do we emphasize Acharya and not Shastram? We can ask this question. Because Shastram is the one that has all the information. Why should we emphasize on the Acharya? In fact, really speaking, Shastram alone is the source of all knowledge. So we should be emphasizing Shastram only. But we find Acharya is given more importance. We should understand why. Because Shastram can be there without Acharya. There can be Shastram without an Acharya. When one emphasizes Shastram, a person can try to study it by oneself. And Shastram without an Acharya can be deadly. It can be terribly misunderstood. That is why Krishna said, Buddhi Bedam, na Buddhi Bedam Janayet. So Shastram need not include an Acharya. But once you use the word Acharya, Shastram is automatically included, because Acharya is the one who communicates with the help of Shastram, or what is in line with the Shastram only. Because the very definition of Acharya is what? Achinotihi Shastrani Achare Stapayatyapi Swayam Acharate Yasmate Tasmat Acharya Uchate. The very definition of Acharya is what? One who communicates with the help of Shastram. And when one talks about Acharya, Shastram is automatically included. But if you talked about Shastra, Acharya need not be included. So when you talk about Acharya, Shastra is automatically included. When you talk about Shastra, Acharya need not be included. So like the tape recorder, for example, you know, these days tape recorders don't exist. And these days we got all CDs and everything. But those days when you have the tape recorder, when you press the play button, recording is not included. But when you press the record button, play is automatically included. So guru is emphasized. Actually, guru cannot play the role of a guru without Shastra. That is important. So if one does without Shastram, one has to be very careful of such a guru, because he may give his own philosophy, some ism. And after 2 months, he will come with a new one also. It is all risky. So all these quack teachers. So why guru is important? Yama gives the reason here. Yesha matihi tarkena na apaneya. Atmajnanam cannot be gained by logical reasoning. Tarka, which was explained earlier. Atarkyam, we went through that thing earlier. It is always based on perceptual data. Tarka depends on data. And Atma can never give me any perceptual data at all. So all the scientific advancement will deal with what? Only matter. No science can deal with consciousness itself. Because the entire science is based on objectification. So Yamadharmaraja says, by tarka, you are not going to get this knowledge at all. Atmajnanam you will not get. And the human beings have got only these two means of knowing. Either I have to directly perceive and know, or I have to collect data and infer. These are the only two methods. And if these two doors are closed, what other means are there for me? That is why some scientists, they have come to the conclusion that consciousness will be eternally inaccessible to science, because the observer is never the observed. And so Yamadharmaraja says, tarka is great, but it has got its own field. It is a very important concept that we have to know when we come to Vedanta. Every means of knowledge can function only in their own field. As we said earlier, however powerful one's eyes are, it can function only in the field of forms and colors. Eyes are powerful, but we should understand its limitation. Similarly, I respect science. We have achieved very great things. So wonderful. It's all nice. But appreciating science does not mean that we should depend on science for everything. We should know that there are fields which are beyond the fields of science. And you know, what is the most important thing? It is the observer. So Yamadharmaraja says, when the topic of Atma comes, don't rely on Tarka, science or logic. Then what should you do? You use the appropriate instrument. And what is that? That is called Shabda Pramanam, Shastra Pramanam, or Guru Pramanam. So Tarkena na Apaneya. This line can be read actually in two different ways, conveying two different beautiful meanings. One is we can read this as Yesha Matihi Tarkena na Apaneya. It cannot be attained through logic. Therefore only, this knowledge cannot be negated by logic also. It's beyond logic. Because logic does not access. So for proving also it requires access. For negation also it has to have access. So logic cannot work. Since it does not come under logic, logic cannot reveal nor dismiss it. So what one pramanam reveals, another pramanam can neither confirm nor negate. Science can neither confirm Vedanta nor reject Vedanta. Because science deals with anatma. Vedanta deals with atma. So, you know, we cannot, they both are opposite. And a true seeker is one who will use both of them in the appropriate field. That is where the intelligent person does. I see the necessity of science, also the necessity of Vedanta. So logic has no accessibility with respect to Matihi. Matihi here means self-knowledge. And if Tarka has no access, what has access then? Yamadharmaraja says, Anyena Prokta. Guru Upadesha. Guru Shastra Upadesha is the only one by which this knowledge can be clearly attained. So Yamadharmaraja does not prescribe meditation, etc. for getting self-knowledge. While many people believe that knowledge can come through meditation. But it has to come only by Anyena Prokta, as revealed by a guru. Meditation has got other important roles to play. We are not discounting that. But self-knowledge has to come through Guru Upadesha only. So Yamadharmaraja says, then we will listen. So Sujnanaya Preshta. Yama is nicely addressing him. Oh dear one, Preshta, Sujnanaya. Clear comprehension, through clear comprehension. So this knowledge can be clearly comprehended only through Guru Upadesha, and that is why Guru Prapti is considered a great blessing. So the scripture says, Durlabam Trayamevaitate Devanugraha Karhetukam Manushyatvam Mumukshutvam Mahapurusha Samshrayaha. These three things are all very rare. One can get them only by the Anugraha of the gods. And what are those three things? To be born as a human being, Manushyatvam. To desire for moksha, mumukshutvam. And having the desire for moksha, getting a competent acharya, Mahapurusha Samshrayaha. So all these three are not in one's hands. They are only in the hands of the Lord. And Yamadharmaraja congratulates Nachiketas because he has got such a guru. And who is that guru? He himself, Yamadharmaraja himself. And so he says, Yam Tvam Apaha. Actually, it's a very, very interesting sentence. Yam Tvam Apaha. Yamadharmaraja wants to say, you have already got a guru. Because he is going to serve as a guru. And so instead of saying, you have got a guru, he says, you have got knowledge. So what he wants to say is, you have got a guru. But what he says here is, Yam Tvam Apaha. You have got this knowledge. Why? Because he is so confident that you are a qualified student, Nachiketas. And I am very confident in my communication. I know what I am doing. So it's an ideal combination. A competent student and a competent teacher. And so you have got knowledge. When I teach you, you will definitely get it. Tvam, O Nachiketas. Yam. Yam means Brahmavdhyaya. Matim. And Apaha. You have attained that knowledge. Which means you have as good. You are as good as having attained this knowledge. Why? Because Satyadritihi Bhata Asi. Because you are a student of firm resolve, Satya Dhritihi, not a half-hearted seeker. You are firm in what you want. Satya Dhritihi, Yama himself is a wonderstruck at the glory of the student. Bhata, an expression of appreciation about Nachiketas and compassion. Alas, great indeed. You are a student of such a firm resolve. And Yamadharma Raja says, I would like to have more students like you, more people like you. Even the guru becomes greedy when he gets such good students, because the joy of getting good students, nice students, is always a delight for the teacher. Because the guru gets the inspiration from the students only. If the shishyas don't inspire, guru will also lose interest. Whatever he has learnt also, he will forget perhaps. It is like any other art. If the audience respond well, then you get the best music from the musician. If they are all sleepy and nodding their head and looking at the watch, the teacher also will sleep. The musician also will, he will render something and leave. Of course, he should play well. Similarly, if the shishyas respond well, best teaching comes out from the teacher. And Yamadharma Raja enjoys that. And that is one disadvantage of this webinar, because the teacher has no opportunity to see the students, what they feel. Anyway, and Yamadharma Raja enjoys that. Normally, no one comes to me at all, because who is going to go to Yamadharma Raja? Nobody will go. And now you have come. So he is very happy. And the person who has come also is a very competent student. So you are very rare who has become my disciple. So I would like to have more such disciples. So he says, Hey Nachiketaha, Twadrik Prashta. Students like you. Prashta means students like you. May I have more and more of them. I want to have more students like you. Because what is Shravanam for the student is what? Is Nididhyasanam for the teacher. That is why teaching is very important. When you are able to teach a student, it becomes Nididhyasanam for the teacher. In fact, teaching itself is a form of Nididhyasanam only. That is why teachers love that when there is a competent student, a good student to learn, the teacher loves, because it becomes Nididhyasanam for the teacher. So we'll stop here and continue with the next verse in the next webinar. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakriti dinasya yaparasa maheshwarah Shri Krishna.